It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. As always, I'm your host, Elliot Barr, and is joining me is the wonderful head coach, the guy with the greatest beard this side of Southside. It's Coach Darren Sawoski. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's good to be on here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, Coach. It's always a pleasure. I'm pretty sure you had a great offseason. What are some things that you did this offseason? I know we talked about earlier, you went to the Antigua. How was that? Like, did you try any new food?
Yeah, of course. I did two things. The first one is after the season, we really swallowed hard, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit. But my youngest son and I went hunting in Montana. My son dropped his first deer. So we had a very successful hunt in Montana for 10 days with some friends, and we filled our freezer full of winter food, which is great. And then I came back, we spent the holidays here, and then I took my lovely wife down to Antigua, and we just did a whole lot of letting her relax and put her feet in the white sand and, you know, kind of recharge and get ready for 24.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, okay, back to this deer thing. Like, so at one, I've never been to Montana, so I'm assuming it has to be very cold up there around this time, but also like.
It can be. To be honest with you, the week that we were there, the week prior, there was snow on the ground. The week that we were there, we basically avoided snow, but pretty cold in the morning, but not so much during the day. It's beautiful country, man. I recommend anybody checking it out. It's just big open spaces, and, you know, you hike way out into the woods and just kind of take it in, you know?
Wow. So this deer that y'all dropped, like, what are you making from it? Like, are you making jerky or, like, sandwiches? What are you making?
We ended up killing three deer. You know, it's a lot of freezer, you know, we try to, you know, my favorite food on the planet is elk backstraps. And, you know, we weren't hunting elk this time, but we did get three deer. So we have deer backstraps, and, you know, we made as many steaks as we could, but most of the rest of it we make into burger, because you can use that for just about everything. And it makes sure that you use the whole of the animal, because the only reason, you know, we don't ever kill anything that we don't eat. And we're very, very respectful of the ecosystem. So it was just a really successful, good opportunity for me and my son to get away.
Nah, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, that's kind of cool. Like, one last thing, like, do you have, like, the antler horns hung up somewhere?
Sure. So with deer, there's bucks and there's does. Bucks are the male and doe are the female. And because our seasons go late, as pro coaches and players, I couldn't get buck tags. So we killed three does. So no antlers this time, but we have some stuff from the past.
Okay. Well, I mean, talking about last season, let's go ahead. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Tough end of season, of course. No wins since, I want to say, July 8th against that Union Omaha game. What are some of the lessons that you took from the back end of that season that you're looking to use to motivate you and the group going into this season?
You know, the biggest thing I would say is this is a long-term project. You know, maybe we don't tell that story well enough all the time, but, you know, when I got here, we needed to build a winning culture, and we've done that. It's a winning culture. We just, coming out of the 22 season where we won a trophy, you know, within a three-year period, we put a trophy in the trophy case. We wanted the other one also, and I know we'll talk about it shortly, but there's another opportunity for another trophy this year. Our plan is to try to get them all. But coming out of that season, we lost some very important pieces. And, you know, I relied on the culture that we had here going into 23. And as a coach, you know, I made some mistakes. There were some things where, you know, players, every player that played here was a great person and a great human being. But in order for Richmond in our current state and the way that we spend compared to other teams, we have to get it right. We have to make sure that everybody has bought into that culture. You know, and I made some mistakes. You know, we believe we've rectified those, you know, and we're continuing to develop younger talent. So, you know, 23, you learn lessons. You know, the biggest thing is to make sure that, you know, culture has to be maintained. You can't just rely on it. So we've worked on it a lot over the last few months.
And I know this is something like you always talk about, like you said, like building up the culture of the team. And part of that culture is, you know, is fostering in the youth and bringing in the youth kids. So far, you guys have, you know, signed Landon Johnson, Beckett Howe. Year two for them, like, how are you looking to develop them? And, you know, with also with Richmond United representing the Kickers in USL Academy, how are you looking to foster that partnership and use them?
Well, let's take this thing up to 10,000 feet, you know, the so that people know, and please spread the word. The idea here is to keep modernizing the longest running professional soccer club in the U.S. We're proud of that. 32 years, all of us. We love that. The reality, though, is around the world, lower league teams, the way that they make money and they're sustainable is through player sales. You know, that sounds like a nasty term, but it really isn't. You know, our front office killed it last year. We had 6,000 fans at games. You know, we're selling more and more sponsorship. You know, they're working hard to monetize everything that they can. They're doing a really great job. But to really be sustainable long term, you know, and this isn't the United States, this is everywhere. You know, when you have 196 teams that have folded over the last 30 years in U.S. soccer, it's because people spend a lot of money, and after a while, they don't, you know, they don't get the return. It's really difficult to keep losing money all the time. So the way that you rectify that is to develop players, sign them to a pro contract, move them from your pro team onto another pro team, and then you get money for that, and then you get money for when they're sold on. And that's where we're headed. You know, we've committed to the local youth, you know, right now with Richmond United, that partnership. There'll be five academy guys that aren't on pro contracts training through preseason at least. The two pros, you mentioned Landon and you mentioned Beckett. We expect them with the minutes we gave them last year to come into this preseason frothing at the mouth and ready to take minutes. So, you know, this is a long-term project. We hope to have so many kids from our academy system playing in the pro team and then moving on. So we're winning trophies and we're moving on so that Rob Ucrop can put his feet up and enjoy the ride.
Nah, I mean, that's one of the things that I kind of take pride in being a Richmond fan is like, we, you know, instead of going out here, it would be great to go sign like former USL championship players and guys from overseas and all that stuff. But it's nothing like rooting from guys that come from your community and that really, you know, deeply care about it. So last year, I want to ask you, like, play style wise, I feel like I always ask you this, like tactics wise, like, what do you see and thinking out there on the field? But like last year, you mentioned how you were looking to make the team more possession heavy. That was kind of like an emphasis. But at times it seemed like the best success came from when you guys were direct or physical, you know, for mentioning, like you guys scored, I believe 14 or 15 goals off of set pieces alone. So how are you looking to mend those two styles going into this year?
Well, you're talking about the poetry and the romance, right? Like all of us want to play a modern high pressing system with all possession of the ball when you have it, right? And we don't want possession for possession's sake. We want to win games. And we know that around the world, if you control the ball, you have more opportunity to control chances and win games. So for us, we definitely want the ball. But we're also, you know, we take great pride in the defending side of things. So to answer your question a little bit more direct, we're trying to win every game. It's less about possession. You know, last year, I think we actually grew in parts of the game. And, you know, the part of the game that's really interesting is that in 22, we got into the final third less times than we did in 2023. But Johnny Bolaños, Ethan Bryant, and Emiliano Terzaghi injury, we had less looks at goal at the quality level that we had the year before. You know, part of that's from the responsibility of the coaching side, but we also we underachieved. You know, all these one goal games where we outshot teams and grossly outpossessed them. You know, our style of play will probably change throughout the year. We will be more of a pragmatic team. We want the poetry and romance, but we're here to hunt 3 points every week.
Okay, so it's what it sounds like to me is you guys are kind of getting back to your roots, but you're like, hey, look, we're being adaptable and more flexible than we have been in years past, is if I'm hearing you correctly, right?
You know, when I got here in 2020, there were 14, 15 guys here, and we defend, you know, after the COVID piece and all that stuff, we did a lot of defending countering, and we were really successful. We wanted to evolve that because we know it's not sustainable over, you know, you can do it in a tournament, you know, but you can't, you know, over 30, 32 games in a playoff and all that, you can't do it over that time. So we need a little bit more balance. You know, I think last year we were probably a more pretty team. You know, I think you're going to see the guys roll their sleeves up a little more this year.
All right. I look forward to it. I look forward to, you know, Zaka chopping somebody down and then 30-yard ball out. I can't wait for it. real quick, I want to go back to Richmond United, just ask you this question. But with them representing a USL Academy, and I'm not quite sure how that schedule works for them there, but how does this support the club in developing players for the future, and how can we see players move up between the two sides? For instance, you know, when we see players such as Gabe Cox or others, you know, start off with the academy team, they do well there, and then possibly work out with the men's side. How would that relationship work?
So it's a long question, and we could talk about it for a long time, but here's what I would tell you. Richmond United existed before having the affiliation with us. We're working with them. They are currently in what's called the ECNL, the Elite Club National League. So they play age group specific. U13s play against U13s, U14s against U15s. They have, you know, the 12 teams on the boys and the girls side, and they're our partner. Mika's the technical director. Connor Capoletti, who's an assistant coach with us, will now be the USL Academy head coach. He is also the college coordinator. I just hired Evan Munn, who will be the director of goalkeeping there. So the crossover is getting more and more seamless. Like, the methodology there develops into the methodology here. The difference with the USL Academy is it's really, they do run a U15 program, but in general, it's a U20 team made up of U14 to U19 players. So we can literally move players from the pro team back down and up daily. You can't do that in the ECNL. If we wanted a player like Landon Johnson, who still is young enough to be in the U18 age group, he can go back and forth between U18 and the pro team. But say Beckett Hell or Gabe Cox can't because they've aged out. But with the USL Academy, that team specifically, we can move guys back and forth. We even have the ability at times to let pro players go get a game in the league season so that it can act as a bit of a reserve team.
Okay. That's a good explanation. I mean, as you know here, we love covering all these kickers, men's and women. So we look forward to covering the USL Academy side there. And you brought up his name. Coach Munn came over from Oregon State. With Akira moving on this past offseason, we'll get to that because, you know, our fans love Akira and whatnot. with Akira moving on this past offseason, you not only lose a key goalkeeper, someone that's been in this league for 5 years, that made incredible saves, the goalkeeper of the year, all that stuff, but you also lose a key coach in your staff. How does the addition of Pablo Jara and Coach Munn help you fill in those gaps?
Not dissimilar to what I talked about with player development. We're also into coach development. We're into administrator development. You know, if a coach here does so well that they move up into Major League Soccer or whatever, we see that as a positive. It's hard, but it is what it is. Akira had signed a 2-year extension here. He loved Richmond. You know, I love Akira. He's a good friend and he's a great coach and he's really growing. You know, we've helped him get up, you know, do licensing over the last couple of years. And, you know, he's really excelling, but His wife is from, you know, the area down in Raleigh, and he had an opportunity. NCFC was very interested in having him come back as they try to make a run. And we wanted to help him do that. You know, we came to an agreement and we helped him. So we're still big supporters of Akira. Like, we love him to death and we'd love to have him. But, you know, things evolve and people move up and Akira wants to make another run at the highest level. We support that wholeheartedly. In regards to Evan, Evan's a kid I've been coaching since he was a teenager. You know, he played in the Sounders Academy, you know, went on to New Mexico and then played at Oregon State. And then he was a coach there, helped them go to the Final Four in the NCAA, you know, a month ago. So he's a high pedigree goalkeeper. You know, he worked with Tom Dutra of the Seattle Sounders, Brent Dragomon of the Seattle Sounders. So he's got, you know, he's worked, he's trained with Casey Keller. Like, I mean, the guy can, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's not only a guy that's going to help us with our new goalkeeping core. You know, we brought him here as an asset to the community. You know, he's going to be working at Richmond United, which means these young kids are going to benefit from, you know, 15 years of high level pro activity, and you know, he's gonna keep helping us modernize what we're trying to do here.
Oh wow. So I mean, it sounds like you guys kind of fill in those gaps there. I mean, I look forward to seeing Pablo. What attracted you to Pablo Haro from his time in South Georgia Tormenta? I mean, will not lie, we in the past had some constructive criticism about his goalkeeping. What attracted you to him as a goalkeeper, but also his experience in USL League One? How do you think that could help benefit the team?
Well, first, constructive criticism out of you is very interesting. I saw that you guys were letting, you know, you're saying that we're a 3 in our offseason rating. I love that you did that. So all I'm going to do is show it to the guys, my friend.
I know.
as it relates to Pablo, you know, Pablo's an incredible leader. One of the things that, you know, we didn't struggle with leadership in 2023. You know, there were some good guys in there. But you know, from the back and some different things, just the way the season played out, the way the year started for Akira and the injuries to Emmy and some different things, you know, we knew that when Akira moved on, we need a good leader in that spot, you know, across the back. And Pablo's an amazing leader. He's a good locker room guy. He's very, very intelligent. He's very serious about it. Like, it matters. It's not just about playing soccer and then you go home, right? He lives, eats, and breathes it. He and his wife have committed to being here. He's on a multi-year contract. I like playing goalkeepers. I like guys that can play out of the back. I mean, number one, I want him to keep it out of the net, which we've seen Pablo do that. We want him to be consistent in that, but we also want him to lead, direct, and be able to play out of the back. And he ticked all those boxes for us. You know, it was time for him to take on a new challenge and opportunity. You know, I'm close friends with the guys in Tormenta. Of course, they wanted to keep him around, but they're evolving also. So, you know, he's part of our evolution, and you know, he's just a good dude.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about your coaching staff, also with USL. They just started a new initiative called USL Forward, which helps diversity hires work their way into USL coaching staffs. And Richmond has decided to bring in Lauren Hutchison, an ex-Trinidadian international footballer, owns Orton Academy with Unknown. And also, if you don't follow her Instagram, I encourage you to. She does some amazing work there. But she also works in the offseason with some Kickers players. For her joining the preseason, with her experience as an international and as a technical director, what will she be added to your squad during this offseason, and how will she be working with y'all to help improve?
Let's start here. Like, easiest way I can say it is, we don't believe in closing doors. We believe in building bigger tables. You've heard me say that before. You know, you can't take care of everybody. You can't work with everybody. But the one thing that we did when I arrived in 20 was we opened the door to anybody coming to watch that wanted to. Any coach could come to training. You know, we have that, you know, as long as you check in with us so that we know you're going to be there. You know, we've had tons and tons of college coaches and local coaches come in and watch. And Lauren's been a part of that. You know, she's come and watched training. She asked me if she could come help at our combine a couple of years ago. So she's pretty much been at every combine evaluating players for us. So in reality, we've been doing this with Lauren for a couple of years. And for me, I'm willing to help anybody that wants to learn. And if they find value and benefit in what we're doing, they can be there. It doesn't matter what background you have, male, female, black, white, Asian, green, purple, the door is open, right? And Lauren just happened to fit the bill in the USL's new initiative. So, you know, we support that because we support it for everybody. And I think that she brings a certain bite and flair. I mean, no one works harder than that woman. And she, you know, I think that she will probably bring a different perspective, but the beauty is that she works with a lot of the guys in her gym during the off season anyway. So not only does she help us during the year at the combines, you know, she's been training 4 or 5 of our guys this whole off season to help them get ready and all the stuff we need. So it's just a nice fit.
Yeah. So it doesn't even sound like it's a learning curve. It's pretty much like, yo, we're just giving you an official title and another clear pathway to keep doing the work that you're doing, not only here at the club, but in the community in general.
You know, Elliot, a lot of, you know, something that I feel is it's everywhere, you know, and maybe I'm guilty of it sometimes, but our first pillar is humility. And I find so much that there's not enough of it, right? Like, I think I can learn from anybody. There's something to learn from every coach, you know, and there are a lot of coaches that feel that they're peers to us. That's okay. No problem. Coaching a pro team and running a pro team, it's difficult. People find that when they get the chance. It's harder than people think it is. And, you know, anybody that wants to come listen and learn and interact and be critical, we welcome it. You know, there's been a lot of local coaches at the smaller schools that have come out to just tons and tons of sessions. And afterwards we sit and talk to the point where I'm like, man, I gotta go. I have my next meeting, because it just starts to become a good conversation. And yeah. You know, Lauren's fits the bill. She's super humble. She's trying to build her own brand and her own project, you know, and we want the best for her. So hopefully what we do helps her move up.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. That's dope. So you kind of already brought it up, you know, in the offseason, we got asked the question, how do we feel about the kickers offseason? And we rated it a 3, because at the time we were just like, you know, it's good signings, but nothing to where, like you see, we're noticed. You see other clubs going out here and signing your former USL Championship players or guys from overseas. But I want to frame the question in this context of, even though the kickers haven't made the big splash signing, how do you feel this plays into your hand of kickers kind of flying under the radar? You know, no one's really looking at the kickers or really paying much attention to them. How does this kind of play into your hand of being under the radar or being the underdog?
Well, first, I don't think we can fly under the radar. We've been around for 32 years and nobody else has. And as much as people want to throw stones at me and I'll catch all of them, you know, mm-hmm. we're 12 months removed from a trophy, right? Like, do we want the trophy at the end of the season? Yeah, of course we did. And we're going to work towards that. But to win a regular season is incredibly difficult. And to do it with the budget compared to what some of these other people are doing is even more difficult. And I don't think the player shield is celebrated enough, you know, but enough said, that was 22. Like, we've moved on. We learned some lessons from 23. Like, you got Spokane, who just signed a former MLS All-star. You know, you have Northern Colorado, who keeps, you know, signing these guys from Europe and these different places. Good for them. You know, we're not in a situation where we can sign players like that. It's just not in our wheelhouse. We don't have those types of budgets. But I would take Emiliano Terzaghi healthy over any striker in the league. He proved that. Like, the guy can score goals. Neil Vignoles, very, very, very good player. We, you know, Zaka Moran, these players are very, very good players. What we needed to do, and where I failed last year, and I openly admit it, I didn't have enough competition for each of those guys in spots on the field. You know, you want to be at least 2 deep in every spot on the field, and our budget doesn't necessarily allow us to do that. So we have to develop players, which I alluded to before, and that's a process. We took over, you know, the technical part of Richmond United, you know, just less than a year ago. It's a 3 to 5 year process to see the end product. We're trying to accelerate that with, you know, Beckett Howell and Landon and whoever. You know, Nicholas Simmons. But we believe that the players that we signed, you know, I guarantee 100% that these new signings, they have grit and bite, and they're culture guys. You know, I just made the hair on my arm stand up thinking about, you know, Guy Franca and Tony Pineda and James Vaughn. You guys are going to like these players, not necessarily because their names are up in neon lights and they're cruising in Bentleys with new watches on. You're going to like them because they're going to be Richmond through and through. And I'm super excited because these guys are going to kick the junk out of each other in training, trying to get on the field. And it's only going to make each other better.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. I can't wait for everybody to see this team out here in the field, see these new signings and whatnot. So preseason, you know, like I mentioned, February 10th preseason starting up. What are some things you're looking for in your team, both on and off the field, to let you know, like, all right, you know, I know it's a process and you don't want to be your best the first game of preseason, but what are some things you're looking for to, you know, let you know, like, all right, this team is on the right track?
You know, I think a lot of people say, oh, it's a great job. You run out on the field there and you roll a soccer ball out and start blowing your whistle and yelling at people. You know, it's really not that simple. We're pretty scientific in our approach. So, you know, the first part's the physical component. We have to make sure they're healthy and strong and that you don't overplay them, right? You know, when we play on February 10th, we're not trying to play a 90-minute game to win a trophy. We're trying to add game model components. We're trying to get the physical part of the game right. We're trying to get the guys to understand the culture and the game model together, you know, and it's a progression over the course of the preseason, right? By the time you hit that March 9th game, you want to be hitting on as many cylinders as you can, physically, mentally, culturally, and executing a game model so everybody's on the same page, so that you have a chance when you go to Spokane, who is definitely one of the teams that's throwing out the checkbook, that you're on the same page. Because in order for Richmond to be successful, the club, no matter what, we must be together. Everybody's got to be on the same page. They got to buy into the culture. They got to fight for each other. You know, and every team says this, but the teams that have the splash players, as you alluded to, it can be a little bit more difficult because they walk in and they want things to be centered around them. And it's a challenge for coaches to deal with that. You know, and I'm not saying that our guys aren't confident and don't have a little bit of swagger and they need to be managed a bit too. They do, but we were very particular in who we picked to make sure that the culture was right, so that guys were willing to fight and fight together. So preseason is really just the way that we get them ready through competition, so that we're not kicking the junk out of each other. We're kicking the junk out of other people.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool. Just let Zaka and Maxie just kick each other, as long as they don't get kick other players, as long as they don't get red cards. That's the positive about that. Like you said, like, you guys are going to Spokane. That's the first game of the season, March 9th. But it's in the road in your home state. How does it feel to start the season off there and to have soccer grow in the area?
It's really interesting. You know, you're for somebody who's probably lived in 10 states and like four or five different countries, you know, Washington is the state I was born in. I grew up there and I've spent time working for the Seattle Sounders, Tacoma Stars. Like, I've spent a lot of time there, but you know, Spokane is way in the east of the state, right? So you have the west side, which is, you know, where Seattle and Tacoma and you know, the major population, you know, Spokane's a 5-hour drive. You know, I know out here in the east, you know, you drive 5 hours, you hit four or five states, right?
Yeah.
You drive 5 hours and you're still hanging out in the same place. So I spent a lot of time in Spokane. I think the project there is awesome. You know, Ryan, their owner, actually played on a club team against me our entire youth career. I don't believe that his team ever beat mine once. We eliminated them in the state tournament every year. I made sure to remind him of that when we talked, but they're doing a great job there. They have this new stadium and it's going to be really awesome. So I'm excited to go back. You know, I think it's great that the team is in the USL, not an MLS affiliate, because, you know, it gives the state both of those things. And it gives Spokane a true pro team to go and support in the game of soccer.
Yeah. What does your preparation look like for a new opponent? Obviously, you know, it won't be a lot of game film of it, but how do you prepare for a team that's essentially new? How do you prepare for that?
So first, you know, our concentration is on us. You know, I started with culture. I started with our game model. It's can we execute and do what we want to do? And we're preparing to play against the very best that we could play. You know, last year, DC United, the year before, Charlotte FC, probably the highest level teams that we had an opportunity to play against. We're preparing for that. We want to be able to do our game model against the very best that we can. Now, as the season goes on, there's lots of film and opportunity to see teams. So, you know, Spokane's a new entity, but, you know, they've signed a whole bunch of USL championship guys. They've signed an MLS guy so far, and they've got some guys that played in our league. So we know the players. You know, we'll have some idea going into the game, but the reality is the concentration is on us.
Yeah, no problem with that at all. Got to make sure your house is straight before you can look at anyone else's house. This is a question more so about the season. We talked about it. We had Rob Ucrop on to talk about it as well, but with the in-season tournament this season, how does this play into the role of squad depth? Like, so let me back up. First of all, what are your thoughts on the in-season tournament as a whole? Like, how are you looking at this tournament?
Well, I saw your guys' comments about how we didn't win a trophy when we did win one trophy, right? And you were pissed, which I'm happy about, because any trophy that's on that table, we want to bring it home and put it in our cabinet, right? So yeah. The reality is, this gives us another trophy. You know, it gives us another opportunity to win something. It gives us a chance at another final. You know, wouldn't our supporters, don't you want us to have another final? Can you imagine having two or three finals in our stadium in a season?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I like that. And the evolution of the game, you know, I'm a purist, to be honest. Like, I'm a little bit traditional. Like, when I think of European football, I think of the table and the EPL. And if you win the table, you've won over that, you know, 38 games or whatever it happens to be. You know, the year that we won the Players Shield, it was so, you know, good to me. Like, I love that, because we proved over a long period of time that we could excel at a high level. But I'm also American, man, and I like the playoffs. And watching Detroit lose that game is the, you know, I wanted Detroit to win and beat the 49ers just because they haven't been in it so long. It's like it's an American thing. Well, all we're doing is trying to evolve it to make it more fun and exciting for you guys. And, you know, it's funny to me how people, whenever something's new, they're like, oh, man, here we go. But the reality is, if you see in other sports, whether it's the NBA or even the MLS did last year, those types of tournaments are exciting and they're fun. It's like a jolt of electricity in the middle of a season. And, you know, to be honest with you, we're not completely sure how we manage it yet, because as we start to go through it, we're going to try to win every game. But managing, you know, a league game that we got to win a 22-game regular season to get in playoffs, and then an interleague game, you know, we're gonna manage that, and we're gonna learn this year as we go through it. But, you know, truth, we're gonna try to win every game. We're gonna try to win every trophy.
I'm glad you did, Barbara.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Because now the season is shortened. So I don't know if you remember, but in the past we had a conversation about the season kind of being unbalanced. Like you might play Madison twice at their place, where Greenville only got to play them once, and you know how that works out. But now it's a true balanced schedule. How does that increase the opponents every game
for you? So, well, it does, because there's less points out there, you know, yeah. First. But the next, you know, the white elephant in the room is promotion and relegation, right? Like everybody talks about this stuff. But the reason, the main 100% reason promotion relegation doesn't happen in this country is because to get promoted costs you money, whereas everywhere else in the world, you make money. So here's what we need, Elliot. You guys got to get out there and find some big donor that says when teams get promoted, they get millions of dollars so that then when they move up, they can go. You know, that Interleague Cup is all about having an exciting, you know, mid-season tournament. We would love to have USL championship teams in there, maybe teams from outside our league. Why not, right? It's a competition for everybody. That's what makes the US Open Cup such a neat competition. But, you know, that's really the reason, right? You're this is the start of it. So that competition will be cool. Hopefully it grows and evolves. And I know that the leaders in our league are working on that. The 22 regular season, you know, 22 game regular season, you know, we need to win enough games to get into that tournament while trying to win that interleague during the year. It's going to take some shuffling. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And I know you, like, I know that you are ready to chop it at the bits to get things started. March 9th. I want to, lastly, before we wrap up, I want to ask you this question. Richmond, of course, is getting a W League team. We don't know the name of it yet, but I'm pretty sure that's coming soon. Is there a chance we can see you in the supporter sections rooting on the women's team when those games happen?
That's an interesting question. First of all, 100% in support. I love the coach. I think she's great. Our new sporting director, Madeline McCracken, she's a little spark plug, man. She's working her rear end off. She's been helping us with our combines. We help her with hers. So it's seamless. It's 100%. You know, when the name comes out, you guys are going to absolutely love it. It is awesome. It's unbelievable. And on top of that, you're going to want to buy all the gear. It's going to be unreal, you know, but we're seamless. This is one club. We're all super excited. You know, I think there might be a chance of you seeing me, in the supporter section, but we'll see, man. Depends on how much you're writing about me the week prior. I'll have to read up, and we'll see what you say, because I don't know if you want Angry Darren in your supporting section.
Well, look, Angry Darren is a good Darren, because that means we're getting the best Darren.
You know, I saw, I saw this thing about handsome coaches or something. Somebody said it to me, right? And yeah. the guy said in there that I look like the dad that the kid wrecked the Ford Taurus and was trying to decide what to do. That's how I look all the time. And, you know, I'm a pretty stern guy, right? When I'm serious, I look mad. You know, I suppose I'm not a teddy bear. Maybe it's good that people are a little bit intimidated by me, but it's always funny to read that stuff about yourself.
Look, I'm just saying, the all black and whatnot. Like, I was making a joke when Matt and them that we were going to buy you some black Air Forces and just have a Tifa for you, like black Air Force energy. Like, that's what it seems like. It just needs to be all year long with the Kickers.
My son, along with all this younger generation, which I'm the old crusty man on the doorstep, right? They all got their shoe game, right? And mm-hmm. I know what Air Force Ones are because when I bought him a pair, and then he buys and sells these things online, there's that whole ecosystem of shoes now, right? On Bitcoin and shoes, right? I don't even know what the heck's going on. But yeah, if you bought me Air Force Ones, I'd wear them. But I would tell you to save that and buy beer from Tom at the stadium and use that money to buy beer from us and make noise. You hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Well, yeah, we should definitely get started on the Black Air Force energy. You know, so we had his teams going with Zaka, Maxi. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun. But, Coach, any last words for you before we wrap up the show?
Yeah, just that, you know, there's all these things at the beginning of the year where, you know, people see where people are signing and you know, there's this splash and there's that and all of these things. You know, one thing I said, I'm incredibly grateful to have the opportunity to work for the Richmond Kickers and be in this community. And, you know, the UCROP family and just the opportunity that those people and all of the people here have provided us, the players and the coaches, they understand it and they understand the responsibility. We are not a 6-win team. We are a winning culture. And you're going to see that out of the guys. This group is going to bleed that red that you want. And you're going to see more of that red. If you know what
I can't wait. Look, that's the thing. Get back to, you want that red jersey. That's Kickers through and through. But Coach, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day. I know you got a lot going on. Can't wait for more of these signings to pop up and these preseason games to pop off. But we just want to say thank you for taking time out of your day for hopping on and chatting with us.
You got it. Go Kickers.
Yes, sir. As always, fans, we just want to say thank you for taking the time of your day for listening to our podcast. With that being said, make sure you go to RiverCity93.com. Support our podcast while we cover all things soccer here in the River City. So with that being said, we'll holler at you guys next time. Be easy and be safe.